the Gator ground, really was.
All right, you guys ready to start?
They're football people here. We got to stop talking football now.
Here's the gavel.
Melpool. Are you here?
Present.
Greg Johnson. Marie Williams.
Here.
George Vitale.
Here.
Chris Wilson.
Here.
All right, welcome everyone. We've just done the roll call. Can I get a motion to approve last July's meeting minutes?
Well, so moved.
I need my pen out of there. Somebody work this way down there.
Do I have a second?
Good catch.
So I was at the meeting, so I can't second anything.
That was absolutely wrong.
So you guys want to kind of step back through those minutes, take time to kind of refresh your thoughts?
I read them on my phone.
Because neither one of you guys were here, were you?
I was at town.
So I don't know how true or false they were, but did you second it?
Chris wasn't here either.
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Okay.
So if you want to take a minute to read over them and if you had any questions.
I don't know.
Any concerns, George?
Say what?
Any concerns?
No concerns.
All right, we'll give Chris a minute and then we'll wait for a second on the minutes. All right, we have a second. Any opposes? So the minutes have been approved by the board. Next on the agenda is public comments. Any public comments from anyone? Anyone wishing to appear before the board? Well, we're moving pretty fast. Any unfinished business we'd like to discuss? We had none on the minutes.
Yeah.
I'm down to item 6. Any new business to discuss?
And walking around town and hearing about things, is there something going on with the driving range net going up?
Yes, I was going to address that when I got around to.
Okay, I'll just wait then.
Okay, yeah. Outstanding. So no new business to report on. Ocala Golf Club report.
Okay. Well, just to briefly go through, I'm sure you might be a little tired of talking about, I know I am exhausted in many ways about talking about Hurricane Irma coming through and the efforts, but I'm very proud to always mention how quickly that the team responded. And we did get the golf course. We closed Saturday afternoon. Saturday was a volunteer day. The storm rolled in, as we know, Sunday night, Monday morning, early Monday morning. We got back open 9 holes on Thursday. And the staff worked between my golf staff helping out as well with the maintenance crew that got the golf course open and ready for play. So we fared better than most. We didn't lose any power at the club at all, which was kind of awesome. No real damages to any buildings, and the trees that went down literally fell around everything. Wouldn't hit anything of value. There's a sign up by the tennis courts that tells the no trespassing. The tree, that the big oak tree, actually went down, split that, didn't even touch the sign. So I mean, that's the kind of, you know, divine intervention, I would say, that stepped in. So only one tree landed on the back of number 12 tee, so that was the only kind of physical or visual damage, and it wasn't even in play. But the team responded well, as I said, no power loss, which was good. We don't have the finals in of the revenues of September, but it looks like, I'll just give you a brief overview of the revenues for the year. It looks like we're going to exceed gross revenues by $226,000 in 2017. We broke the 1.4 million mark for the first time. We never broke the 1.3 million mark prior to that, so we exceeded prior our best performing year, which was 2016, which was 1.2. This year we exceeded 1.4. And again, that's total revenues. Some of the highlights: 110,000 exceeded in green fees and cart fees. Again, another record with that broke the 804,000 mark. Rounds, oh, let me forget rounds, that's the first thing. Rounds, we broke the 50,000 mark. We went into 51,000. Food and beverage, total food and beverage, we exceeded budget by 93,000. And the only other department I broke out was just banquet food, which we exceeded budget by 64,000. Those were the profit margins.
Were those the revenue numbers? Those revenue numbers.
The total gross revenue, 1.45. Sorry, thought I had that off. Want a boot scoot? Again, those are unofficial numbers until the books are closed. The books aren't closed yet, so those are my numbers that are passed up, and then they get scoured. Some things we didn't make budget, other numbers, membership, we made comebacks in both driving range, and we made a comeback in membership, built that back up. And also the other small things, the card revenue that we missed. Now these are thousands of dollars. They're not big line items in the first place, except for membership. And we came pretty close with the addition of the Ocala Country Club members that came in, gave us a nice little boost at the end and helped pick up some of the momentum. Golf cart sales. What was involved in the marketing of the golf cart sales had several clubs involved that I put in the budget, but those clubs never came. Past, we weren't able to implement them. You guys, through this meeting, you've heard me talk a little bit about wine clubs, beer clubs. Those things are still on the radar, but those are things that did not come to pass in 2017 for a number of reasons. And we'll do it when we'll punch it out when we're ready to do it right. You were asking me about the driving net. The net is the one major thing that did get damaged in the storm. That is an item that's out for bid, and as soon as that is awarded, it'll become fixed.
Is that an insurance item?
Yes, it is.
Good.
Timeline on that?
The timeline is that everything's in for bidding, and people are making quotes.
Yeah, the bids are due the 24th of this month. It was the last that I saw.
What's kind of a guesstimate how much in that cost?
Well,
it could be around $100,000 because it's the cables, it's a lot, and it's a big deal. It's got to be engineered, the whole deal.
The installation costs a lot too because the cranes and everything that'll be involved in this. The poles are probably not going to.
Yeah, the poles are fine.
The poles are fine.
Any thought about different kind of idea? I don't know what their range revenue was, but in this day and age of golf, people talking about short courses, kids' courses, everything else. Taking that driving range, instead of doing a $100,000 for netting, doing a short course, a pitch and putt course, something like that, something a little different. I have no idea what the revenue for the range is, but something a little bit. Say it's been, you're gonna get the insurance money anyway for the rebuild. Maybe look at something a little different idea. I mean, driving ranges are everywhere. Blah blah blah. I mean,
I don't know enough about it to get an educated.
What's the annual range revenue?
I don't have that in front of me right now, but I can tell you in 2 seconds. If I can.
I mean, I know if I go to a driving range, I'm going to drop the ball.
Right. Well, driving range, first of all, the driving range is almost pure profit, with the exception of. Yeah, with the exception of the expenses of golf balls and stuff like that. But we make, it's about a 36,000. We make about 3,000 plus. And over $3,000 a month. We have a lot of PDP programs based on there. We sold a lot of PDP programs. That's up. What's a PDP pro? It's a range membership. So that range gets used a lot. Just because the revenues are $3,000, that means $3,000 paid. You have 150 to 200 people with memberships that aren't paying because they paid that, that's included in their membership.
So that doesn't show the true use of
correct.
It.
Correct.
Yeah, because that's part of the benefit of correct. Being a member is.
That makes sense.
Right.
They break that out one day, break out a portion for the range.
We don't. We bring everything's under membership. The PDP program is all under range.
Disregard that, would probably be not sensible.
I mean, what do you think? What do y'all think is golf?
I wouldn't well, have
that. Over here, we're lucky because we've got that 4-acre practice field, which is essentially is what that a lot of that does happen. We use it a lot for that. What you're talking about is it's a good training ground for, you know, new students, things like that. It's a deferment if it's a busy, busy day.
Interesting enough, my first golf job was at Royal Oaks. We didn't have a driving range. And people adapted, never bothered anybody. People would stretch. Just kind of,
yeah.
We did plenty of business there. And,
yeah.
They people adapt.
I just know for me, I'm like you, when I come, that's the first place I go is to the range, just to...
Yeah, that was 20 years ago for me. I was a little liberal back then. I could adapt. I'm not trying to...
Well, did they ever have one? Did they have one and did away with it, or they never have
they
one?
They never have one in the world.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. If you have one and then take it away, I don't know. My guess would be people would yeah.
Did you have a lot of going on Super 60 out there? Did play there, or was it
good? You could call on me to order.
It's a bad idea. It's just I think people might
have a lot of teams to go
air it out. Don't you have a lot when the tournaments are there? Don't most of those guys go out there and hit a truck off before they get to where you're playing?
You know, if there was additional land and you wanted to have an optimal,
yeah.
If you wanted an optimal project, you would put three holes around there, have a nice driving range where people can hit. We do a lot of lessons out
yeah.
there. The first tee's a house there.
Right.
I mean, the driving range is a need. In most cases, driving ranges these days are put in a golf course as an afterthought but I can tell you right now, I feel the heat every day about not having my driving range able to hit drivers because of the safety issue with the net down. So, I mean, there's people that, and just the amount of range memberships, which is $49 a month that we're selling, is on the upswing. People just want to go beat golf balls. If the net was up, I would be open at night right now. The light driving range would have been starting on Fridays and Saturdays. It was scheduled to go in October, but I can't do that until I get my net up. So it cost me about $5,000 a year for the range balls because we do bring in, and I don't have to do that, but we definitely bring it in there because the Oswald and the camp get new golf balls. Just been part of the practice, so that those range balls is the only thing that really costs me. You know, there's no additional staff really needed. Someone who picks the balls could even be me. We have someone on staff no matter what. So,
that's what it costs.
Right.
Anyway, just disregard that.
Well, speaking of the range balls, is there an issue with the machine dismissing the balls out? I have a couple inquiries about that. The machine?
Occasionally there is a the machine breaks down. That's something we deal with on a regular basis. Sometimes you have to go in and unplug it, sometimes because it's all computerized and it has the keys. But no, I don't. It's never been down any length of time that I'm aware of. I mean, it might be a day because sometimes we have to call and get a peep. We've gotten a part on it on two times since I've been there where they had to send in the part to us and then we install it.
So is this a maybe old and antiquated, or it's just wear and tear?
Just wear and tear. It's older machine as well. I mean, it gets a lot of use, and it is a, you know, I don't know if anyone, you don't have a key. It's a little, do you know what the key looks like? It's like a magnet.
Yep.
You know, so occasionally does it not work? Yes, but for the most part, the machine, it's up and running every day. Now, so maybe no range balls are in there, and we have to go out and pick it. That might be one part too. Yeah. So.
Well, you said it was down every time you just went.
Yeah. George, do you know that? I'm going to ask you because...
What was the question?
Was the range ball down any enormous amount of time? I mean...
Oh, absolutely not.
That he's aware of. It'd be,
on occasion, like Jason said, sometimes we have a little, sometimes it gets wet if we wash down something. You know, might have to wait until the receptor dries out. But all in all, and if there is a problem, what we do is we just grab the balls out of there, we bring them into the pro shop, and then we sell them from there until the problem is resolved. So it's all the time, it's an issue of the computer where you either punch in the code number or use this PIN. Members usually have that PIN, and it just gets, it has to be reset sometimes. But yeah, that's a normal operating thing in any ball machine like that, dispenser. So, you know, but very infrequently do we have the machine down, you know, and the ball's not there. You know, so.
All right. One of the members just brought it to my attention, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my God. If you ever, of course, just if you didn't mention it to someone in the pro shop, mention it to me, and I like to understand a little bit more of what that would be, because I've never seen that driving range. The driving range is never down, because as George says, if we can't get the machine to work, we start selling the balls out of it. Is it an inconvenience for a member to have to walk to the pro shop? Yes, but they can get the range, they can get the balls on the times that they're not working, and that hasn't happened in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're still on Cala Golf Club. So what's the bottom line number to project it?
It's not done.
Okay. Loss or gain, do you think? Or?
Well, we're at a break even. Is our budget to break even?
Okay.
I'm going to tell you it's going to come in the negative because September was a loss.
Okay.
So we were, through July, we were right at the break even part. So August and September, it just logically, because it's going to be a negative number, it's going to mean we're going to come in at a loss. But it's a good number compared to any prior years.
Okay. Well, I've been here a while. Welcome back. I haven't seen you last time.
Yeah.
Good to see you. Back in the
ball,
for sure.
Good to see you.
My experience as a member this summer, I enjoyed it out there. Thought the golf course was in good shape. I mean, the majority of it. I mean, you played it too. I talked to you. So you got there too. Golf course was in good shape. I mean, it really was. There are some pace of play issues I hope we can address eventually. I mean, maybe a ranger, maybe just on the first tee thing. I don't expect to see a tournament at 9:52. A ranger out there would help. Maybe using both tees in the summertime, get people off and increase revenue, because it clogs up out there and get there at 10:30, and it's like a trek to the desert, you know what I mean? Because you're out there for 5 hours. Sometimes I play Tuesday and backed up a lot, for example. So that's just my observation. Food and beverage, again, it's just food and beverage. It's what it is. But the golf course was nice all summer. It was a good shape. Oh, and occasionally Seth plays the U.S. Open. He'd been out there a couple times, the pins are all tucked, and it's taking 5 hours to play on Ladies' Day, and they have the pins like 3 steps off the side of every hole. Maybe talk to the superintendent.
Who's he trying to
I'm not saying on any day. We're not professional golfers out there, and some days the pin.
No, but you can't. Okay,
I understand.
It's this thing to be argumentative, but let's talk about when you're really busy and you do the rounds we're doing. You occasionally get a hole location to give the other places a break.
I get that.
So there are a couple times when you walk out there where one or two holes, maybe per round for a week or so, is going to be a little tough. And I know 14's tough, and it's stuff like that. So these are comments I'm used to. Pace of play, I'm glad we have to discuss pace of play, because that means we're busy. And we are doing a lot of rounds. If I could put the Rangers are out there, I'm utilized, I go out constantly, John goes out constantly, but we don't have a staff member designed to do that.
I get rid of Rangers.
Well, I'm just going to answer your question
I'm not being.
Flip down that 14, because now, if we don't want to go where the water, we can go around this way and get rid of that big tree over there now, that one that fell down, get rid of all that bush, and we can go back. We don't like it over that other hole.
There was a lot of disappointments that some of the trees made it.
Well, that one, big step was still good. So I don't know if we're going to that, they didn't play last week, the week before.
Oh, like I said, my first point was, of course, in great shape.
Oh, it is in good shape. Everyone's doing, I mean, everyone does a very good job out there. They work hard. We'll certainly, we respond to any slow play issues. And, you know, we get a few of those, and it's very rare.
I guess the key there is, again, I mean, I think your staff's great. I think the people, the guy inside is a teacher also. I can't remember his name right now. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Super.
Eric Simple.
Eric, yeah. Super. Eric, yeah. George over here, but in some ways in a bad mood, you know, but overall pretty good, you know. John, awesome. You know, people that are good. And I guess what you say when you respond to pace of play, I would take a step different tack on it. I would be proactive on pace of play. Everybody reacts and responds. A little proactive on pace of play.
Again, if I had the ability to put additional people on staff to do that, yes. Again, I mean, I know our challenge out there is we're the conditions of that golf course is up, and it's upheld at a higher level, and it's not upheld, it's not wanted to be maintained at a municipal quote-unquote condition. We don't get compared to a Silver Springs anymore or a Diamond. We get compared to, unfortunately, the Golden Oaks, country clubs and stuff in the Stone Creek when there are people are talking about it. And rightfully so, and I think we do that. So we do 7-8 minute intervals on our tee times. And still, if you're gonna get some morning play from outside that doesn't play, they play at the Villages or come in a group, it will slow the play down. I know exactly what you're, because I mean, it's very consistent what we do with our members. Our members can play in 3 hours or less. But people that don't know the golf course as well don't play it in 3 hours, they'll play in 4 hours. And the pace of play becomes an issue the minute it's 4:07. So, I mean, we get that. You know, it's not the 4.5 hours that you would expect to do if you go to a different golf facility. I could put the tee times to 9 minutes and then probably have no issues.
I think too that, you know, we get a lot of senior players, you know. So they don't, you know, they don't move as fast as some of the younger guys. I have to put myself in the senior player too. Yeah. But the thing is that, so what we try to do is to instruct them that, listen, we've got up tees that'll make the game a little more interesting, a little more fun for you.
That's proactive.
Huh?
That's proactive. That's good.
Yeah, right. So don't play from the blues, which are 50 and almost 6,000. You know, we've got intermediate, we've got the grays, and we've got the greens. You know, so you know if you're a senior guy, play the green tees. You know, play up a little bit. You know, and I always try to tell people, look, this is the barometer that we use. If you hit your tee ball, not your super best tee ball you ever hit in your life, or the worst tee ball, but your average tee shot, and you're not using an iron or a hybrid to get to the green, and you're playing too far back. So move up, make it fun, you know. So we try to do that, try to instill that in the customer.
And that's trained, George. I mean, Chris, that's trained to all of our staff.
Staff does a great job.
So, yeah. But we try to address that. But slow play, yeah. And I mean, it's a sore subject in any golf conversations because everyone wants to play. It behooves me for everyone to play in 3 hours. I get more golfers out there if we could do that as managers. But my point is, it's a disease that's been around golf since the beginning of time. So nobody can fix it, and occasionally, and I don't think we get it as much as we did in the past. I think because we do a lot of members during the week now, that the quality of golfers are up there. And I think the conditionings of the golf course, and no one's mentioning that the golf course is not easy anymore. It's not wide open. I mean, we have rough. We have a standard, not a high standard of rough, but we have rough, a little bit more rough than we had before, because if you remember what I'm saying, we don't widen the fairways as much because we're trying to grow grass where the grass wasn't growing. So Jeff's goal is to let the rough grow in certain spots. So we have our fairways have come in at least a stripe on each side. That happened the first year I was here. I heard a lot of conversation. I heard no conversation with just a couple things around the bunkers. That's the only thing, because when we lost our small tools, if we fall behind on the little bunker rough, then we lose the ball in air. Even that got a little heavy. So when that wasn't cut, that's the only time I ever heard anything. So, in fact, I'm hearing just the opposite now, which is amazing. I'm hearing from the golfers, we love the rough, we love seeing our fairways. It's putting a more emphasis on being in the fairways. And I'm looking at y'all, you've been around this golf course more than me, and you know that rough was a conversation. I don't have that conversation. The men's group isn't in my face, and they would normally be. George Reinhart took me on my first week here, took me around and showed me how the golf course used to be. You mean, so there was a passion about that. But I think there's a, you know, I'm trying to be relaying to you, we're seeing a change. I have more young members that have joined this year than ever. And they're good sticks. You know them, they're friends of yours. I mean, their names have been around, but they're joining and they're playing more out there. And I think it's because the golf course, while the greens are excellent and the bunkers are back to normal, I think they're seeing a little bit more challenge in playing. It's not, they like the fact that there's a visual out there and a penalty if they don't get there. We just had the Florida State Golf Association Junior Tour this weekend. John Daly's son played. We had probably five of the top 20 juniors in Florida play in this tournament. Our local boy, Gray Albright, won, by the way, with a 67, 68, 135 total. But my point is I sat at every table and I asked every junior, what did you think of the golf course? This tour goes around. If you see the courses they play, because it's all through the Florida State, they're playing some really good, strong golf courses, but they loved our track. You know, and 9 under went into a playoff. But there wasn't anyone beating it up outside of the two young guys there. And the girls played, and even par shot there. But it's just we're getting more of that stuff that we haven't had any interest since I was here before. I know I'm only here 3 years, but the Florida State Golf Association now is calling me for more events. And I really feel it's just because we're not producing the easy golf course. And I know your stick is strong.
No, it's really bad.
Well,
but it's
stronger than most, you know, but what I'm saying, there's a change occurring in, I'm not getting the negative that I was getting. If one blade was out of line my first year here, I had people in my room.
I thought the golf course is good.
Correct, which I'm agreeing with you, but I'm going down to this pace of play and the changes and
so you've addressed that.
Those are addressed. The things that are happening is just that Ocala is going to the next step. It's okay. Going to the next level, and we're seeing a lot more. The younger members, our members, we were just having a conversation. Our members are getting a little older.
Sure.
You know.
So well, I think Chris is just asking. You know.
Yeah. My point is really is that yeah, I could find the younger guys out there, but they can't continue to play the better slog your way off the first tee when you have access, especially in the summertime, it's hotter than hell after 10 o'clock. That you get access to the back tee, and your members are zipping around pretty quick.
Yeah. That's why I don't have access to the back tee, because my members that tee off at 7 o'clock in the morning come in round in less than an hour and a half. I'm a double tee fan, okay? I can't do that because I have a handful of members that'll just crack right into that play. Well, that will come when I'm ready to take the next step.
I'm not a double tee fan, that's all you say. But you know what I'm saying? How much more revenue
I'm a double. I'm a double tee fan, there's no question about it.
I am in the summertime for sure.
But you're aware of it, Jason.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we're going to move on to Clark.
You were along this week. The minutes are a little short of what I actually said last time, and that's okay. You can see we just had the district golf tournament for one of the district tournaments for the boys and the girls, and I guess we'll find out who won it, but it was Vanguard, Lake Weir, Bellevue, and girls. So, anyhow, the hurricane, same results. We were beat up, killed us revenue-wise. It helped an already poor quarter be even poorer for us. We had power, finally got power turned on Saturday afternoon, at, you know, 5-6 days after the storm.
Oh my
God. It killed us. It was tough. We did reopen. We closed during the storm, of course. I think it was Sunday and Monday. And we didn't reopen Tuesday. We couldn't. We spent all day just, you know, just getting playable, trying to get the golf course playable or semi-playable with debris. We had a lot of people help us. It was kind of cool. We had, you know, not only the staff members, but some of the people that play golf here, you know, come out and just help us, you know, pick things up off the fairway mainly, just get it at least where you can play the course. And even though we didn't have power, we wound up reopening. I'm going to call it a soft reopening. It wasn't a grand reopening. We had a soft reopening on Wednesday. And the reason we did is because we, in the summer months, we rely heavily on our Wednesday golf league. And they have a good number of players. And those guys have cash. I mean, they're trained to have cash anyway, because we collect in the snack bar and because we run a skins game and the whole deal. So they give us cash money and then we take it and put it in the till. But so that was easy that day because everybody paid cash anyway. And then just, you know, nobody really was playing golf much. We probably could have waited 2 or 3 days and not opened. But I had a couple, you know, it was kind of neat. By Thursday, I had people bringing me generators. It was cool. Well, they had their power back. People are very generous, you know. Hey, I got my power. You want to borrow my generator? Heck yeah. I had a couple out here that were, and I had an electrician that helped me. I had to rewire the for the ice machine. You know, it runs on 220, but I had a couple generators that was big enough to pull that. But they had to re-put a new, what do you call it, the plug to make it fit. Yeah, and he did that for me and got it going. So we got our ice machine. Julie and the city, I will have to say, the city was fabulous as far as involvement, help, encouragement, security, whatever you want to say. You know, prior to, it didn't just start the day after the storm, probably a week before, you know, there was emails and considerations, you know, what do you need, or what are your preparations, are you getting ready, and you need anything, blah, 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 and kind of here's what the game plan is. I think Julie was certainly involved in that, and obviously Kathy as the department head. So that was a good feeling, and I appreciate that. It was all good. I talked to Julie just about every day on the phone. They were generous to help, you know, give me some ice and things like that. So we did what we did. We weren't anybody any different than anybody else. We just had to deal with it and keep going. That's all you can do. And I think probably the reason our power was out for so long, I knew I was in trouble when I came in. Let's see, the storm. I actually come up here Sunday afternoon. No, not Sunday afternoon. Storm. It would have been Monday. I came up here Monday.
Oh, wow.
And there was this huge oak tree that had fallen on 21st Street, right up here at the four-way where 27th Avenue. There's 3 or 4 houses up there. I felt sorry for those people in those houses, but this huge oak tree, must have been 75 feet tall, fell from one side all the way across the road. And there was a major transmission line that was down. I'm talking these lines were this big. It was not just your common. So I knew we were in trouble when that happened. And the road itself was closed for it seemed like forever, but it was probably only about 2 days. So once they got that reopened, and then I think the power, Ocala Electric, come up there and looked at it and said, that was a little above our pay grade, so they had to get some help, but they got it going on Saturday. Anyway, so thank you to the city for helping us through a very, very difficult time. So we reopened, and we got some stuff coming up. We're past our, you know, for us, I'm sure Ocala Golf Club as well. The third quarter, you could just live without that quarter, you'd be better off a lot. You could skip it, but unfortunately you can't. You have to be there so you can be there the other three quarters. We do have a small event this weekend. I tried to get a little bit. It's called the Estella Bird Whitman fundraiser. It's a health place here. I don't really know exactly what it is. It's a resource center where people can go to get health care that's near. And I think they've got a mobile over there now.
Portable.
And so they're trying to get that going to help the local community, particularly folks that don't have the ability to even get to the emergency room. They got somewhere they can go. And then an event that I've done for years called the Gator Seminole Challenge. It's on November the 20th, unique because it's on a Monday. It's a 1 o'clock shotgun. Anybody interested in doing that? Need them Gators to win because they play golf when they win.
Wow.
When Tebow was in there, I think we had 100 players. But anyhow, that's on November 20th. Any proceeds that we get from that, I don't know where Greg Wise is at. Are you going to report for First Tee? We'll try to give some money to the First Tee. We try to give them $500,000 if it works out. So we'll keep doing that. As far as the golf course, officially tomorrow we're putting our winter seed out. We're starting that. We're going to do probably the front nine tomorrow and the back nine Wednesday. And ultimately we will redo we will put winter seed on our tees as well and get it grown in. And it's always a little better time for pine oaks. You know, once we get into our winter green, we have, you know, we can compete a little bit better in terms of, you know, playability, puttability. The greens are just much, much better in the wintertime. So I don't hear as many complaints, which is nice. And then people actually come here and play, which is nice. We don't have the problem with slow play in the summertime. I wish we did. It don't happen. But in the winter now, it can be that way. And that's been a, like y'all was talking about, I mean, that's a tough issue because you got to. And that's the one thing, you know, when you are at a public facility, you can certainly try your best, but it's kind of like when you're going up down I-75, you know, there's three lanes, so there are certain days you go up and down I-75, and it's not very trafficy, and you move along, but then there's times where it's just slammed, and then you get bottlenecks. You know, you'll go along real good for a while, and then all of a sudden it's just a bottleneck. It's not necessarily because somebody's going slow, it's just traffic. That's kind of the same thing that happens here, particularly, I can tell you where it's at. I even kid people, I tell them, you know, hey, you're gonna have two tee times today. You have a tee time off number one and a tee time off number six. Because sometimes it will literally, what happens around that curve there, that amen corner, the first group of the day that has to look for golf balls, now the next group is coming off a four and they're there on the tee. Well, then that snowballs, and before it's over with, So it's not necessarily a particular group that's slower, it's just traffic, you know, and it gets a little concerning and tough. And I'll go around the course, and of course I'm smiling, you know, because we got a lot of play out there. But at the same time, I know I'm fixing to take some heat that gets tough. And you'll go up, and I just try to personally just talk with them and say, look, I don't really know what to tell you and what to do, because there's really no holdups anywhere. It's just there's a little bottleneck and it's just crowded. Try to be patient, and you know, but generally what happens, the good news at Pine Oaks is, even though it might take you sometimes dang near 2 hours to play the first six holes, I've seen that before. You'll play the next 12 in 2 hours or two and a half. So your round still measures out to about 4:30, which is extremely long and excruciating for us, because normally it's 3:30 or 3, I mean. So, but anyhow, we golf pros have to put up with that kind of stuff, and it gets tough. You're always glad when you have busy days, but you do know there's a different type of stress that goes along with that. And I'm not, irrigation systems on life support, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. As a city,
didn't help with the tree removal, I assume?
Yes, that's another thing that's
very nice.
I'm grateful for, and it's coming. It hasn't been done yet, but it's coming. We did lose a lot of our really majestic oak trees, about 15 of them on the golf course. Some of them are kind of in play, they just go around. When we play them today is where the rules get confusing. There's really no such thing as a temporary immovable obstruction, as you know. TV golf, they have the TV towers. People see them, well, I'm going to take line of play. There's no such thing. That's a special rule on the tour. People see that. They think they get the drop from behind that big water tank over there on number, is it number two now? You don't get relief from that. It's part of the golf course. Swinger stance.
Circle those trees.
Basically, that's what we did. And we just told them, you know, just don't move it closer to the hole, but get yourself a shot where you can, you know, have a comfortable, fair shot to the green if you get behind the tree. All right.
Thanks, Mark. First, Teal Vocal Report.
Okay. Greg Wise couldn't be here today, so can report we just had our big, we have really two major fundraisers, and one is the big golf tournament at Golden Ocala. So we made our budget. The final numbers we're waiting to see, but I know that we have definitely made the budget there. The monies that are raised, of course, go for scholarships for introducing people into golf. Their focus has been in growing the program. Boys and Girls Club has been a big push and has been one of the major successes. The other thing they're looking for, we're at the point now where we're looking for volunteers and trying to get more and more volunteers in because the kids, the camps are filling up. So I don't have all those numbers in front of me. But my meeting's tomorrow. I'll probably get my final update on everything tomorrow. But Greg Wise has done a wonderful job in taking over the executive director role. And since then, our direction has been moving at a very steady pace upward. I think his talent with the media and things where we're getting a lot of exposure, he was there for the tournament yesterday, just for example. He was with the kids, and he did photo all the kids. And he didn't, it was no charge, but I mean, he did that because we wanted to have a few pictures. Yeah, I wanted John Daly's autograph, so we got a bunch of autographs of these kids, all the locals and stuff like that. But the board is growing. We're going to try to bring on at least three more board members. So the program is very healthy. We're about ready to introduce a program. It's a VIP program. Greg has all the details. We're working through some of the contractual things to the people that will join. That VIP card could probably bring more money than all of our two fundraisers together. And I don't know if we're going to be able to do the birdie bridles and barbecue again, because the manager that is no longer there.
Yeah, Sean Dory.
Sean Dory is no longer there. And Sean, I believe, kind of gave us, kind of donated the facility, so I'm not sure we're going to be able to absorb that, but we have a backup already in the works, so I'll see how that goes. That's part of the topic in tomorrow's meeting. I forgot to mention, there's just a small tournament this weekend at our place called the Oswald, so, you know, you can tell when I'm not even talking about the Oswald, there's a bunch of other good stuff going on. Yeah, the Oswald's this weekend, by the way, so. And Greg Wise will play in that. So that's how I'll tie that comment in. If anyone has any questions on that, but Steve Calhoun is our program director. He's doing a very good job. He's getting Darren from Golden Ocala got involved. Eric Sipple, who you mentioned,
is involved. Steve did a great job. I play with Eric. They're great guys. They're doing a good job.
Scott Curry. So all these well-known teachers and people that are they're involved, he's got them involved in some kind of coaching of it. But we're still going to need volunteers because when these camps grow to the 20, and you've had several out here as well.
Well, there's like five or six courses now.
Yeah, one dropped out.
Okay.
Baseline.
Baseline. Out.
And that's what the VIP card's about. Clark, you'll see, you'll probably be involved, but it'll be a way to get money to the golf courses as well. It's a win-win-win scenario, but it will raise enough money for that, you know, these cards are out there. It's not a concept that no one's not familiar with, but it's kind of a frequency card. But, you know, these five golf courses will get involved, but it can then extend into things like businesses that want to, in some way, support, but we can support them. You know that JC coupon book that you get with all the coupons in? Well, this is no paper. This is a card, VIP card. And I'm just going to summarize it, but you'll be able to, for example, you can change weekly. You can change your offer on that card. That's how good it's going to be. So if you needed to push hot dogs one particular week as opposed to green fees, you can offer that card and have instant change.
We've come a long way from a whole bunch of cards.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. From the play 10 and get to 11. Yeah. So, and that's my, I think that's about all.
All right. Thank you.
Any representation from the association before?
Yeah. Our nine holders over at Muni, we got back in the swing of things in September. And then, of course, we're going to come along, so we couldn't play the 1 week. But I think we have right now about 14 girls, and the Canada girls are coming back, some of them at the end of the month, so they'll be coming, and so we'll end up with probably about 24, 25. We've got a couple new gals, too, and everything is going real good. We have the first golf around at Candler Hill next week. I think we have about nine girls going over there to play. So that's it. And the course is in good shape. Good thing that tree went down in 14. So we can get back over the our hole or the yellow.
All right, thank you. Item 11, comments from the board members. Chris, what do you think?
Everything looks good.
All right. George?
We're talking about Fowler Golf Club. We've got a group of members that were our members at the country club that are playing our course because of the situation in the country club. And one of the fellows there, he was part of there for a while. He said he believes that when his membership is up, he's going to come to us. He's enjoying playing out there. Some days they have, 16 guys, sometimes it's 8 guys. We have two groups. We have an older group that plays towards the later morning, around noon time, and then the other group plays early in the morning, and they're just loving the course, and we're just loving having them out there because, it's a comparison, from our course to the course that they were playing, and they all love the course that we've been just talking about, and everybody's loving the course, everything's good, people are enjoying it, we're anticipating, I am anyway, all the snowbirds coming back, and seeing their faces again and renewing our friendships to some of them that come, day after day, week after week, it is a great place to people to come, meet other friends, and enjoy the day, Like Mark was saying, it's very difficult. At times when you get a lot of people on the golf course, everybody's spending their hard-earned dollars to play golf. It's their one day to play. Some guys play every day, but sometimes it's only that one day that they can play. And you don't want to go out there and kind of bully them and say, hey, listen, pick it up, because you want them to come back. You want them to be friends. You want them to return and tell their friends what a good time they had. So it's a really fine line to, lots of times, if you just talk to them and ask them if they left the club near the green or something, and then the fellows that were complaining about them in the back of them say, did they pick up the pace? Oh yeah, they picked up the pace real good. But it's all psychological sometimes, basically. But as far as a college golf club, it's a great place to work and it's a great place to play golf, and we enjoy the members out there. We enjoy the people that are coming to play our course because they love it. That's the reason why they come out there. So it's enjoyable. Thank you.
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Well, hey, thanks to Jason and Bart for kind of educating us on those.
But I would like to say, you talking about that, I played in a golf tournament out at Lake Diamond. Calgary Diamond out there. Well, that course is something else. I thought it was going to be great. Everybody told me it was in good shape when I went out there. I didn't think so, but we played in a tournament. And I played with three guys. So, okay. But anyway, talking about, there was no one in front of us. There was no one in back of us. And the next thing this ranger comes and says, we're playing too slow. So I'm thinking, okay, so when we go around this curve, we're going to find people. We never saw anybody in front of us or in back of us. But twice he came along and said we were playing too slow. Now, talk about, and he wasn't very nice about it either. But I thought, how rude. Because we got in before a lot of other people did, but we couldn't figure out, well, we must be really, you know, since we thought we were going to see somebody, and we never did see anybody.
I always eliminated rangers every course I went to for that reason. They created more problems than they
did. I know, it was really weird.
They give you a good 3 days out of the week, and then one day they're just in a bad mood, and they get out there, and you create
the power complex.
And I certainly don't want to go back and play on that course again. I don't hate that course.
Well, I can tell you, if you see me out there, I'm probably the cause of that.
You're the cause of it. I know, and the one hole on the thing, Sue Hall is on that hole, that water hole, I put balls in that one hole. But anyway, I just had to mention that, though. That was really quite rude.
So there's a couple of informational pages in your pamphlets about Halloween and a couple of other kids things that our illustrious Parks and Rec Department put together for us. Our next advisory board meeting is scheduled for January 15th at Cala Golf. With that being said, can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All right. I have a motion and a second. We're adjourned. Thanks, everyone.